Buggy Podcast, Shoot the Shit. Actually, a couple of my favorite episodes are the Spirit one about Quantum Leap, about that, and the DG one from a couple years ago with Katie Zapanta, a couple others talking about starting a buggy team as a sorority.
I saw Katie a little earlier today as well.
We do got the all-gender times up there. Pika A in first place, setting a course record. Again, potential questions about a five-second violation there, so we may see them bumped out of that spot. SDC A also setting a course record with a 236.27, CIAA 254.65, SAE A 256, Spirit A 308, Fringe A 317, Apex A 319.
Yeah, and again, so far, you know, the sun keeps going between in behind the clouds or out. When the sun's out, it's a little nicer. When it tucks behind the clouds, the wind feels a little colder.
Yeah.
I can kind of feel my fingers at this point, so I feel bad for drivers who were sitting in their buggies for too long, but I don't think that's been a problem so far today. And so far, it's been a great day. If you're not out here, I feel bad for you because it's a lot of fun to be out here.
This is the place to be on Saturday morning. Still got re-roll most likely coming in about 3 minutes, and then on top of that, the men's races, some exhibitions coming up later. Blood rivalry of BAA versus sweepstakes will be closing things out. I will be pushing a buggy for the first time in my life, if anybody has advice.
I'm very excited for that.
About 3 minutes to start, potentially waiting for official word on the re-roll, but hypothetically starting in a couple minutes, so please do make sure to clear the course.
Well, Will, I'm personally honored that to see you pushing that hill one that I'll be picking up from you for the BAA heat. We had a rough time last year against sweepstakes. We feel there was some foul play, and I picked up in the chute last time for my hill three. So I'm looking forward to giving a nice shove to Matt, who's going to be picking up in hill three, and hopefully giving him a nice rollout.
Yeah, I hope so. I was saying on the preview show, we definitely downgraded Will's going from Willie to me, a bit better of an athletic specimen there, but we'll have some fun with it. Again, waiting word on the official stuff with the re-roll, but by and large, you imagine CIA is safe. Excellent job to them. Kind of rule of threes or whatever, the disqualification a couple years ago when they should have had it. Last year, feeling like it was a sure thing, but even with that, right, they had the re-roll time, so they went first thing in the morning, and then they just had to kind of sit and wait and see Spirit beat their time. But sometimes, you know, going a bit later can be helpful. And then this year, you know, leaving no doubt about it, they are the top women's team. About 4 minutes here till the start of the re-roll. I've been giving that official information. Following that, we'll have Atlas going in an exhibition, which is fun. Always great to see the autonomous buggies rolling. And then we'll be getting on to the men's in what has been a really lovely day of racing so far.
And I'm hearing word, and I don't know if it's official, but it may be both Fringe A and Siget B getting a re-roll. I don't know if we've heard for certain yet, but it may be both. We do, at the very least, expect that it would be Fringe A.
Earlier we were speculating, could have been something inside, but it could have been something outside as well, like environmental. I've seen in the past, like, unlucky buggies will pick up a plastic bag or a bottle cap as they're rolling through the free roll. There is debris there, and you know, they try to sweep them. Don't always get everything, and the wind is blowing today.
In fact, this may be CIA's bottle cap redemption year. Last year, the reason they rolled early in the day and during finals last year is they had the fastest time in the free rolls, but they failed the drop test because a bottle cap that they caught on the course got stuck in their brakes. So they were granted a re-roll for the following day, but going first with no one else in the heat doesn't quite give you the same adrenaline push. It's a little colder out. You're not quite as loose. You're not quite as warm. And they put up a solid time, but then seeing Spirit, you know, a couple hours later come in and beat them by a second, they proved that last year was no fluke for them, and CIA is here to stay, or at least for now.
Yeah, no, they've been looking really good. I also got word they pushed back the start.
Exactly, and it's one of the benefits of having CMU-TV, WRCT, W3VC all covering this. You know, CMU-TV I think started it with buggy coverage in 2001, but thanks to them, and thanks to the fact that there's a production truck here with a bunch of cameras being able to show replays. You know, in addition to the little cameras that each of the judges may have, the head judge and the assistant head judge may be able to actually go to the broadcast coverage to check, hey, you know, so-and-so said that this thing happened. Can we see video of this? And they're able to look at it live on the course, whereas in years past, it's really, you know, it's a flip of a coin. I know back in my day, it was people would be granted a re-roll, and they'd do the re-roll, and then it would just be reviewed later, and it's like, oh, that re-roll doesn't count because we decided that it wasn't worth it. So, like, you amp up, and you get this time, and then it's like, oh, nope, sorry, you shouldn't have gotten that re-roll to begin with. So it's nice to see that they can actually do this review now, and especially for one day, because, again, if it's 2 days, that re-roll comes on day two, so they review it afterwards. It'll be the next morning that you do that re-roll, like we were saying with CIA and the bottle cap last year.
CMU-TV folks and the way they were kind of jerry-rigging things, running cable all across campus and hacking TiVos to act as a live switcher, certainly come a long way. It makes our jobs very easy to work with legitimate professional quality broadcast setup.
And I think we're less than 2 minutes here until the re-roll, so if you're on the course, make sure to get off the course because we are rolling momentarily. I don't know, Will, if you want to maybe do like the Fringe A roster, because I assume Fringe A is in this. I don't know if someone else is.
Yeah, that sounds good to me. I always love hearing
and
my
Fringe
voice.
Fringe A is definitely in it. I see we see Blue Shift walking out the hill too.
All right, so Fringe A in Blue Shift, looking to get onto that leaderboard. The driver, Freda Sue, Hill 1, Emily Curcio, Hill 2, Kendall Hart, Hill 3, Rita Paxow, Hill 4, Zoe White, and Hill 5, Regina Gambow.
And there was a side shot just now, and on the barricade wall it said dig inside, but the eye was kind of weird. I thought it said DG inside. I'm like, is it DG driving this buggy?
And I actually do wonder if that affected their time a little bit, just coming out early. And
we do have Hydra. We do have Siget B coming out. So this is going to be a rerun of the entire Women's Heat 8.
All right. And it was exciting, everything leading up to that spin there.
It was. And again, maybe unexpectedly, Siget B won that race up the front hills.
Yeah.
I would expect to see that again now.
And so here we are. We will have this re-roll, a exact re-roll of that race here on WRCT Pittsburgh.
7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
All right, here we are. Let us see if Siget B will come up over Hill 1 first. Neck and neck once more. This is looking to be very close.
This is a little closer than last time, and it's one of the things of a re-roll. Like, the pushers just went all out. They may be a little tired. Like, you may not have quite as fast a push as you once did.
Yeah, and Siget looking to be a couple buggy lengths ahead as they get into that transition. Like a 24-second hill one, so yep. A little slower. And some solid separation now between the one and the two.
And now the all-important thing, did whatever happened get fixed? is Sigep.
Ooh, bit of a tumble, a big push there from Fringe A.
All right, well, they Sigep driver appears to have control of the buggy, making a smooth crossover there. So it does look like whatever was the issue earlier has been corrected, whether it was mechanical. I guess because it's a re-roll, it was probably environmental. Or something with outside of Sigep's control.
Yeah, we'll work to get word on that. A minute 9 on the stop sign there.
Yep. As they're approaching the transition flags.
Coming into the transition, Hydra coming in clean. Took it a little slow at the stop flag there, but moving smoothly. Blue Ship taking it very wide at the transition flag. Hydra turning into the chute, taking that chute flag. Nice and smooth, carrying all their energy through. A little wiggle at the end. Blue Ship falling smoothly right behind. Blue Ship taking it close to the balls and turning wide. And slowly coming into Hill 3, looking like a little bit of a blowout for the Sigep. Hill 3, Fringe taking it really deep.
Really? Wow. That is an interesting Hill 3 pickup right there. Coming in with a lot of speed, though. They're kind of sprinting up to it. And Fringe A looks like they may be gaining a little bit of ground here. This is a case where you might have the A-team pushers versus the B-team pushers on these back hills. And Fringe making up some ground. This is going to be interesting.
We might see another close finish here. It's Fringe definitely making up ground. Can they make up enough here to catch Sigep B? They might. They very well could.
Yeah, this is going to be interesting, too, with the driver. You know, do they have to go a bit wider? Do they lose a little speed with that as we get the shove off from 4-2-5? First from Sigep B, Fringe, just a few buggy lengths behind. And Sigep flying on this Hill 5. A little bit of a sloppy pickup there by Fringe A. So Sigep B hoping to maintain their lead, crossing over 2 minutes, 42 seconds here. Trying to see how things look here on Hill 5. Coming up close to that finish line, we're at 250. Both teams willing their pushers on. Sigep B holding on in front, going to cross at a 257, and then about 3 minutes or so, we will say,
yeah,
for Fringe A.
259, three minutes.
So good times for both those teams in terms of the ramifications of the leaderboard. Pardon me. It doesn't look like either one will jump into top 6 position, even top 8 right there. And like you mentioned, sometimes it's a little slower when you do have to do the re-roll. You've already kind of pushed out all your effort, all that stuff. But good at least to be able to see the teams get to finish.
And also, not just for this team, but again with Sigep B, showing that Hydra can make it around the course without issue. Because they got a men's heat coming up in a little bit.
Yeah.
Where the same buggy, same driver will be rolling.
Yeah, and, you know, Sigep A right now would be sitting at 7th place. They likely will get a DQ there. But nice also just to see that Sigep does get a finish today. And not only that, that their B team beats an A team of a very established organization in Fringe.
Yeah.
So that's got to be, you know, just some good feelings for the Sigep house there, a team that's been racked with misfortune over the years.
And we will say, you know, all of this is with the caveat of potential DQs. The team still have to do drops, even though we've already seen Sigep and Fringe both use their brakes on the course and the buggies have come to stops. The buggies still have to pass drops because that was on a prior roll. There's no guarantee without some sort of test that the teams didn't pull out all the brakes. They wouldn't do that nowadays, but, you know, all rules in buggy are rules for a reason, and most of them date back to old people in the 50s and 60s. Mm-hmm. So,
something about drops in the women's races as well is that sometimes you might have the incentive to not brake as hard as you possibly can. Looks like a pass for Sigep. And the reason is that you might not have enough wheels for your men's teams later. So if you brake too hard during drops or at any other time, you might leave your wheels with flat spots, and that'll slow you down later.
Yep, because again, most teams' brakes work is they literally just clamp onto the wheel and stop it. Yep. So it's just friction is what stops you. So it grinds the wheel down until there's a spot that makes your circular wheel octagonal.
That doesn't sound good to me. I don't know a lot about wheel technology, but
it's not. And there was at least one team that rolled on it once with a wheel that had like a lot of spots, and it it did not end well for them.
Yeah, we
or their hill three pusher who had to pick it up at like the shoot flag.
And please do stay clear off of the course. Atlas is going to be rolling an exhibition in just a couple minutes here, and let's go ahead and check out a little video package highlighting the second autonomous buggy team. And we'll have that for you in just a moment. So Atlas will be running an autonomous buggy here. That'll be an exhibition. We'll have a very brief break and then be getting right into the men's races. Again, today, finals. So every time the team gets, they only get to go once. Whatever that time is, that is their time. And that is what we are looking for the winners. Again, congratulations to CIA and Atlas out here getting ready to go, getting ready to roll.
You can see the front wheel kind of already turning. I don't know. Do we know if this is autonomous or if this is remote controlled?
I think I saw a tele-op on the buggy spotting sheet.
Okay. Well, Delaney would know, and Delaney is the one who created the spotter's guide this year. Delaney, yeah, from Robo Buggy.
Yeah, the voice in my ear says remote controlled. Confirmed.
This is a challenging one for the follow and lead truck, where they I know for Robo Buggy, since they were running two buggies, they had the backup drivers, the remote controls in one in the lead and one in the follow to make sure that they could each be steering one or the other. Atlas, so the follow truck now, I believe the steer is in there. They'll need to be close enough that they can keep in range.
Yeah, it's probably the only time you want the follow truck or lead truck within, like, spitting distance of the buggy.
So here we go, Atlas's exhibition.
And coming up hill one here, solid looking hill one so far. And, you know, obviously one of the things about a tele-operated buggy is it's a little hard to keep straight all the time, because every time the buggy gets pushed, the force isn't even. But they're doing a good job of keeping it, you know, on the course.
Wow,
and
he's doing a hill one and two solo. That is a workout.
The best question is he only doing a hill two? He is. Okay, so good to see. We've seen in the past where it's one pusher doing all five hills, including the free roll. But it looks like Monaco is rolling on its own, well, with the remote control, but headed down here into the free roll.
And you're seeing some of the steering from the remote driver there. That's one of those things that the human drivers currently still have an edge on. They can make those small adjustments and not make those big swings with the turning. So they're staying wide, of course, to try and keep everything. If those of you that were able to join us for a design a couple days ago now, you would have been able to see this buggy on in full glory, nice and close. And there were some weights strapped to it, because it turns out the buggies are getting too light with these autonomous designs, and so they needed to actually add some weight to it so they could get through through this area right here in particular, where it sort of levels out and make it all the way to the stop sign.
Let's see, they might need a little extra push here, right? And that's one of those things where maybe the weight even helps, just to have the momentum. Minute 45 at the stop sign, maybe actually following the traffic laws. It's a rolling stop, officer.
very smoothly coming over past the stop sign there. Now, previously they have been rolling in Baby Buggy, I believe. That's the one that, of course, had a little bit of a challenge with steering. This one seems to be much better holding on. They're working their way over the crest of the road, trying to get to that transition flag, which, of course, being in a tunnel smoggy, they don't need a flag to know where to go. But they do still need to make their way over so they can actually start going downhill again, which it looks like they've just barely made it.
Let's see here. Crawling along with Monaco. It
does need to turn soon, unless it's going to go the other way around the monument.
It's made it over the crest. Coming down past the transition flag, the lead truck moving very slowly as the buggy's picking up speed now, passing the monument, making its way down into the chute. Follow truck staying nice and close to make sure they have good visual so that they can steer as nice as they can. They're very wide, of course, from the edge of the road, so this turn into the chute is going to be pretty sharp, but given their speed, I think they should be able to hold on and not lose control. They're aimed right at the one pothole we have, or the one sewer grate, I should say. Oh, but they're turned inside of it, very close to the inside bales, turning into the bike lane and then turn wide out of the chute. As speed, here comes their pusher, coming in for the deepest hill three of the day.
Hey, you know, at least he didn't get smoked by it.
Okay, where he's coming from, he might have been smoked. I don't know.
Yeah.
Is this the same guy from Hill 1 and 2?
I don't think... Maybe? Is it pulling quad duty or whatnot? Let's see.
That'd be impressive.
Iron Manning it up.
I don't think that's the same pusher.
I don't think
it?
So. It's the same actor. I don't know if it's the same guy. anyways. I don't think so. I don't remember the yellow shoes. Whoa.
Looks like this is a camera on the push bar.
They got a GoPro on there or something.
Driver, are they driving through the camera? Are they driving?
That's interesting.
POV?
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting. Maybe they are driving through a camera on the push bar.
But that would be a challenge too with the latency. So
latency and it bouncing around a lot on that push bar. Now there is a rule about. No communication to the driver during the race, but I don't know if there's a rule about the opposite, about communication to somebody not the driver. Although, would the remote control operator also count as the driver? These are very philosophical questions we need to consider now.
And here, I believe this is still Hill 4, but there are... Let's see if we can stay on... Let's see what we're going to do.
Oof.
Are we making the turn and debating?
And it had been honestly really pretty smooth steering.
Oh yeah.
All throughout up until that moment.
Yeah. Mine. You know, other than the fact that it's a little slow, they're fixing the wheel, pointing it straight ahead, making sure everything's still working with the remote control.
And yeah, if people can please stay clear of the finish line, the timing equipment there, that is important for being able to get these times accurately and all that.
Yeah, we do want to make sure, especially, this goes both to spectators and current teams. Just when you're near the finish line, just especially if you're catching the buggy, just make sure to stay back from the finish line. In order to help make sure that we can get accurate times for your buggies.
Let's see, it looks like they've pulled Monaco off of the course there. Taking a look at it.
Yeah, and you can see the remote control there. But it seems like maybe there's maybe a lost connection between that front wheel and the remote control. So that might be it for the Atlas roll. We'll have to see if they're gonna try and fix this and keep pushing. But we do see the follow car driving up, so this may be the end of the course for Monaco today. But you know what? It did the hard part, which was going around the free roll. So there, it looks like they're gonna have to carry it back, which always rough. But you know what? There are much heavier buggies out there than Monaco, so I guess if you have to pick one to carry, well, I guess I shouldn't say that. I don't know how heavy Monaco is, but just from looking at it, I feel like there are heavier ones. So especially heavier with a buggy, with a driver in it. So
looks like one you could sling over your shoulder.
So that's going to do it for our robotic buggies today. I think coming up soon, the sponsor Ford is going to do a drive around with a couple of their cars.
Yeah, about a minute from there.
And then we're going to head into men's. So I think we're gonna switch out some of the broadcast booth. I think Will's gonna stick around, but I don't know, Bobby, if you had any last thoughts about women's or what, or all gender, or coming up with men's.
I mean, they're just great races, mostly clean races, and it's looking like the students are here and they're ready to race.
Yeah,
was this Triple B? Bobby, Brian, Ben.
It was.
Yeah.
And Will, call me Bill.
Brought us in the B team. Oh yeah.
No, you guys are the A squad. But no, I appreciate y'all calling that. It was a lot of fun racing, and
there's more to come because let me tell you, my own predictions for this men's. There's like seven teams who can win this one this year, so it could literally be anyone.
Yeah, this is going to be very interesting. Ford drive around going to be coming up in just a minute.
And again, just a reminder: there are going to be actual vehicles driving around as they're lining up here at the top of Hill 2. Please stay off the course. I know there are no buggies coming, but the cars will do much more damage to you. So please make sure you're not on the course. Please make sure you're staying on the sidewalks or in the designated areas.
Sweet. So thank you to the Triple Bs, Killer Bs, something. I don't know. We'll workshop it. We'll be switching out broadcasters in just a moment. But first, we have the Ford Drive Around. Thank you to our title sponsor this year, Ford. We've got the Bronco Raptor, 2024 Mustang Dark Horse, and the F-150 Raptor. And Mustang GT offers up to 486 horsepower thanks to a new dual throttle body design with available active valve performance exhaust system. Got the F-150. It's been great. Ford cars as our lead and follow. Ford invented the high-performance off-road pickup truck with the first-generation Raptor in 2009. Since then, and now through three generations, Raptor is the ultimate expression of extreme capability and performance in an F-150. And then, of course, the Bronco Raptor. Love seeing the Bronco out here. Massive 37-inch all-terrain tires on 17-inch alloy wheels. It comes standard with the 2024 Bronco Raptor. These rugged tires provide all the traction and capability needed to cover challenging ground quickly, confidently, mile and mile.
Yeah, no, the Ford sponsorship is certainly one that we appreciate quite a bit on the organization side. Having that sort of funding allows us to put on this kind of broadcast, and a lot of alumni at Ford as well who like to come back and see the races. We have a long history of alumni-backed organizations and companies that have come in to help sponsor the races, Ford being the latest. Any company that's looking to sponsor things, especially alumni who enjoy this sport, that's always something that we can use and appreciate coming in as they're coming through the chute here, looking fantastic.
Yeah, those are beautiful. That Mustang Dark Horse and the Bronco Raptor right there, whole lot of American muscle in those two fast, beautiful cars right here, and we really appreciate them helping make today possible.
One of the things that the Ford alum often help out with is also judging design comp. Okay. So we'll often bring in alumni who have seen buggy before as part of design comp to do a little bit of help understanding the teams on top of the professors who are like experts. And so Ford coming in and having lots of buggy alumni helps us out every year with that, getting a lot of judges, making sure that the mechanical aspects of the team are all together. And the cars are now making the Hill 4 transition. Don't know if that counts as a transition violation if they don't switch out accelerators, drivers? I don't know how you'd push it. There's only one driver in there. That would be DQing the buggy for having their own force. It's one of the things I get asked most when I try to explain people buggy is so you put motors in that thing. And we have to say, no, it's only gravity powered. There's just a driver and steering and safety. And that's about it. So it's one of the most unique things about the buggy race, because the pushers matter so much, because you can't go any faster than what they're giving you. Sounds lovely. How about those of us in the booth introduce ourselves? You've seen Will. He's gone for a moment. He'll be back. I'm Elena. I was briefly on in the morning. I'm on Apex Buggy and was design comp chair at one point. That's Rachel.
I'm Rachel. Elena and I are switched on our other fixing it now.
What were you in?
I was on CIA, and I also drove for Apex, and I run the the podcast that we have here on Buggy, and I'm part of the Buggy Alumni Association.
Yeah, let's give a little plug for the podcast. Everyone can listen. It's on Spotify. It's excellent. If you want to learn more about buggy history, current buggy, what students think, what it's like winning a race as a driver, come to Spotify and listen, or wherever you can get podcasts. I don't know.
And as we come up on the men's races, we can take a look back at 2023, remind everyone that the champion from last year was Pika in Banshee with driver Juju Nieto. Their time was 2:09.39. So we can all keep that in mind as we watch the men's races today and see how they shake up.
Anyone who's looking at times, anything less than a 2:20 is good. Anything less than a 2:10 is stupendous and probably a top three time.
And Pika won the men's championship. The last time they won was 2008, before last year, so I'm sure they'll be very eager to see if they can hold on to that title.
For sure. We're also looking at having lots of teams possibly in that top group, so it'll be an interesting year. CIA's been quite fast all year. SDC, gone last year, is back this year. They had a 10-year win streak before that. We've been hearing good things about DG's push team. SIG News, buggies are fast. So it's really anyone's game out here.
Very quickly, first off, CIA men's C. The driver is Kaylan Zhang. Hill 1, Aiken Z. Hill 2, Harry Freeman. Hill 3, Anson Lee. Hill 4, Alfred Chang. Hill 5, Arden Ryan. And then next, Apex men's D. Driver is Mia Pogach. Hill 1, Jack Parkhouse. Hill 2, Edward Brownhill. Hill 3, Max Kramer. Hill 4, George Zhao. And Hill 5, Jared Block.
I got to put in plugs for my best team, Apex. Phoenix was our first buggy, built in 2012. It's an old man, except compared to some of those buggies who were built in the early 2000s. But it's a tank. We joke that it could beat one of those Ford cars in a head-to-head collision.
I have personally driven this buggy.
What was it like? Was it a tank?
Oh, absolutely. Phoenix feels very solid to drive.
One of the best driving buggies. Great for starting new drivers on, honestly.
Oh, absolutely. It's really interesting when teams tend to have kind of almost training buggies to get drivers used to how it works and the sight you have and the turns you have to do, because it's very different to have a perspective from 4 inches above the ground eyesight than it is to walk around and look at the world.
Yeah, and I think that kind of speaks too to just kind of the spirit of Apex and right, the way they started out of like, we're just going to do it, we're not necessarily going to do it to win, but we're going to do it for fun and to have just like a good utility buggy to learn with.
9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, ready, set,
CIAC, Apex D, I know on the women's side was very impressed by just the depth CIA showed, and seemed to be having that again here, a good bit of separation here on Hill 1, a lot of speed, and they're looking good for a C team.
Well, that Hill 2 is moving fast.
Yeah,
see if it's a good push off.
barely bumping it. Forgot to compliment Apex D's Hill 1 sweater. Think that's a sweater? Style, whatever it is. You'd call it fashion. And CIAC, far, far ahead. Those, you know, they may be a C team, but they did not come to play. I mean, they did come to play.
They're not joking.
Yeah, they, yeah, all right.
They came to win.
Boy, I got like 2 more hours of this. I can do it.
All right. Well, just take a deep breath. It'll be okay.
I think Emperor, I can't remember if Emperor Kingfisher is the oldest buggy that CIA is racing this year. I know it's one of the few ones that doesn't have a bird name. Emperor Penguin, maybe? Maybe that is a bird name.
It's coming down smoothly. Yeah, a little early on the turn, but it looks solid, very smooth. Oh yeah, it's through, and the big wheels are going to giddy up the hill here. There's been a lot of, I'm going to say, late-ish Hill 3 pickups, but we'll see if they've adjusted here for the... Oh, no, toasted.
Yeah, and that was a big theme in the women's races, seems to be happening again here. That was the first contact, just one shove there, very deep in Hill 3, transitioning to 4, and, you know, maybe not having the prelim day. These buggies are surprising people.
Yeah, that was a jumbo rollout, though. It was really huge.
Yeah, it's always hard to tell because sometimes on truck weekend teams are still messing around with their rosters, trying to figure out what's the optimal push team as a group, and that can sometimes lead to some surprises on race day.
Yeah, but these Hill 3 pickups are kind of an indication of how much the weather wrecked spring rolls, because people just haven't had the reps on Hill 3, and that's the real judgment hill, right?
Yeah, and looking here, CIAC putting up a really fast time here on that Hill 5. Let's see where they're going to cross here, but this might well be a team record, a 219.247.
Wow, that's magnificent.
For a C team. Yes, applaud, people. That is brilliant. Apex D still coming up here, looking like they're on their Hill 5.
Love it. Yeah, I think I said this early in the day, but now that we've got more people out, the thing to note is that there's a rule requiring that everyone's A team is faster than their B team, is faster than their C team, is faster than their D team. So if CIA is putting up a 218 time, you can expect that their B and A teams will be putting up significantly faster times, too. So that'll be teams to watch.
Yeah, that's known as the anti-Pika rule. They used to play games with their rosters, and thus the rule.
I mean, I'm not going to say that I'm from a team that has had mechanical issues that have happened caused our B team beating our A team more than once, but it does happen, and it's rough.
Aren't most of them anti-Pika rules?
Kind of, but they have really good lawyers, so...
We could get a little spicy here. Nice race there. Just looking, their C team record is a 218.63. That was a 219.18. So just a half second behind their record, but still very, very fast and a nice opening.
Yeah, that pretends a lot of speed out of them this year. If their C team's pulling that, we'll see what happens. And, you know, you go back, there was a time when STC put 3 in, like, under 214, which was crazy. I mean, they had all the pushers and all the rolling buggies.
Yeah, and go ahead.
And that's going to be both a having great pushers, but also having your drivers trained up to high speeds. There's always a risk of having a driver who's been ready for a D team and then suddenly getting an A team speed and having trouble getting a nice shoot turn during that. And so getting great rollouts and consistently good shoot turns is props to the driver as well.
Yeah, and if you're just getting here, congratulations to CIA, top time on the women's side, looking to make a clean sweep of it, take the top time on the men's as well, and definitely, you know, a good sign with how they came out there.
Hey, Will, can you run down the women's times as they currently stand?
Yes, I would be delighted to. CIAA was in first place with a 239.6. Again, these are all unofficial and pending, you know, review by chairman, but CIAA, 230.96 in first place. SDCA, second place, 232.43. CIAB in third place, 239.49. SDCB, fourth place, 240.95. Pika A in fifth, 241.09. And Spirit A, sixth, 241.72. So some really tight stuff there between 3 and 6. And then also just interesting to see CIA topping SDC on both their A and B.
Yeah, that's the first time somebody's legitimately beaten SDC in the last, 15, 16 years?
Long time.
I think we had... Was there a Spirit winning the women's one time? I seem to recall, but I might be wrong. They know they won last year. I don't know if they won.
They won, yeah, last year and the year before.
Yeah.
They won 2 years ago.
2 years ago, but I believe CIA and SDC were disqualified that year.
Yeah, I have three brain cells, and none of them remember SDC being beaten legitimately until this year for a long, long time.
I don't know if it was mentioned, but I think the CIA A women's time is in for record for their women.
Oh, awesome.
And congratulations to CIA on that. That's amazing.
Yeah. No doubts about that. Let's go ahead and get through these rosters here. We have Fringe D and SAEA. Good to see SAE back on the course as far as Fringe D. The driver is Winona Wang. The Hill 1 is Hamza Perea. Hill 2, Sam Radziwan. Hill 3, Jacob Hulk. Hill 4, Moyo Akoma. And Hill 5, Ken Huang. And welcoming back to race day, SAEA pushing the beautiful Barbie buggy. The driver is Carly Tusick. Hill 1, Giovanni Coralupi. Hill 2, Eyal Davidov. Hill 3, Nick Alvarado. Hill 4, Andrew Johnson. And Hill 5, James Kramer.
SAE is one of the more recent returns to the course, so very excited to see the sort of time they put up here.
Yeah, they were rolling as part of Fringe last year. They put up a pretty impressive time, and so hopefully this year they can move a little forward from that. Is that color pink known as Betty Boop pink? I could be wrong.
I don't know. You'd have to ask them what color of paint they got.
Yeah, the black leaves used is known as Black Orchid, and I never quite figured out the orchid part of that.
So many of the paint jobs are really gorgeous and slick looking this year.
Yeah, it's a good looking field of buggies. About 30 seconds here until the start as the brothers of SAE about to put down Barbie. Another one of the teams returning this year. They were not able to participate. And kind of an interesting right thing.
9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Ready, set.
Pushers, mechanics, so on and so forth, kind of going to different teams last year during race day, and then now they've come back home. SAEA looking good, looking fast here on this Hill 1. Shoving it off to AL.
Nice.
Looking slightly slower than CIAC. No,
really
deep.
Really deep. Really deep Hill 2 shove. Right there.
Yeah, Barbie looking good in the free roll. One of their newer builds. It's a good looking buggy. It moves well. Predates the Barbie movie too. The Trendsetters. Greta Gerwig was watching race day. And
I heard that when they repainted it, the driver had a lot of say in the name and the paint job. So props to
her. It's a magnificent color. Yeah. It's beautiful.
Sub 1 minute there at the stop sign. I think that might have been the fastest. That's one of the big metrics we use in this race is comparing where people are with the stop sign as they go into the chute.
So SAE coming down. No other buggy in sight, really. They're still way up. Smooth entry. Very nice turn. That's a beautiful turn. A little wiggle, but not significant coming up the hill. That really signals a great finish for them. We'll see how the pickup is here. A second buggy just now taking this U-turn transition flag.
It looks like that was a pretty good pickup there. I know a lot of people have been getting smoked on Hill 3, but SAE looking good. Some powerful shoves there in that 3-4 transition. Just about 3 or 4 touches there. That's kind of what you want to see out of your Hill 3.
Well, Fringe D had a great pickup, but it was at the driveway, so it's hard to call that group great. But let's call it significant.
And SAEA, the time to be right now, top of the leaderboard, CIAC, 219.18. Let's see if they're able to get that here with that transition. 4-5 probably will be close, but a nice-looking roll for them. Always good to see them out here on race day, especially after last year. And it's going to be close. hand on that push bar, 221.23 coming across. Fringe D still a ways behind there, just making that 4-5 transition. But again, always great to see teams with deep rosters. The fact that Fringe is able to roll out a D team on the men's and the women's side, you know, testament to their recruiting in a time when recruiting has been a little tougher for teams.
Yeah. I always like it because Fringe's paint jobs are some of my favorite on the course, and so getting to see as many of their buggies out as possible always makes me happy.
And at 2:54.046, so that's going to put them, that almost looks like the exact same time as Apex D. We'll be interested to see what that actually comes in at officially.
We can fight it out for last place. Barbie coming down the drops.
And for those of you who may just be joining us here, drops test essentially is a test to see if the brakes are functioning. So you'll see these buggies placed there by a line. They'll get a flag, and then they have to brake by the following line to demonstrate the brakes function. Hopefully I described that somewhat accurately.
That was pretty good.
Thanks.
The whole point is checking that the brakes function. We do it between every practice for every single day of rolls. And normally we do them at the beginning of the day, but because a lot of teams heat their wheels, treat their wheels, and therefore don't want to be rolling on those wheels before the races, we do them right after the races. And so drops is one of the ways you can get disqualified if you fail it. So most teams work very, very hard to have the drops brakes working, not just for the DQ, but also for the driver's safety. We want the drivers to be able to brake when they need to on the course.
Yeah, well, drops are really proof that your brakes would have worked had you needed them. And thus, if you don't have brakes that would have worked had you needed them, you get disqualified.
Yeah.
Which is a crazy way to say, yeah, your brakes need to work.
One of the hardest parts about changing things up as a team is if you're switching wheels around for race day, if you're switching around brakes, making sure that everything's still as good as it was the week before can always be a challenge.
Yeah, and for that battle of D teams, like you were talking about, the Fringe's time came in. They got a 2:53.99. Apex D was a 2:54.06.
Hell yeah.
So a 0.07 difference with Fringe coming out just ahead. You do imagine, though, there is some kind of battle for pride in some of these teams ranked at the similar level. SAEA at 2:21.17, so a couple seconds behind CIAC. Coming up here, we will be having Signue versus Fringe. I believe we have a hype video we'll be introducing there. Signue, another one of those teams that's very interesting. Could, you know, they have a really good buggy, so you never know where that can kind of cause some trouble out on the course.
Yeah, I'm a little nervous. They certainly have the speed, but they had like the least number of rolls, relatively speaking, of almost any org. So the amount of time she spent going fast doesn't make me really comfortable. However, she looked okay for the women's, same driver. So we'll see what happens. I will be a little nervous, but definitely a quick rolling buggy, not a deep push team to say the least. But they have a B team this year, which is progress, right?
Yeah, and let's see a little bit more about the Signu team. Let's go ahead and introduce these teams. This is an interesting one because a Fringe is going two races in a row. That's got to be tough in their truck there. But let's go ahead and run through the rosters. First up for Sigma Nu A, the driver, Leon Mellinger. Hill 1, Ricky Gao. Hill 2, Eric Yao. Hill 3, Liam McDowell. Hill 4, Sam Fiffingston. And Hill 5, Manny Minerva. And then we have Fringe A, the driver, Abby Miller. Hill 1, Holden Neely. Hill 2, Justin Zhang. Hill 3, Will Corvin. Hill 4, Colin Danes. And Hill 5, Ben Colby. But what's that like for Fringe having to go back-to-back heats with two buggies?
It's rough. So, for those who don't know, heat selection is based on two things: previous race day placings of the past several years, and times from truck weekend. We want the buggies to be as far apart from each other as possible, because we want the drivers to be able to use their lines that they've been practicing and not interfere with each other. This isn't a race, it's a timed heat. But that means that teams try to get separation so that they can have the same mechanics ready, so they're not having to do drops and get a buggy out at the same time. And so it's got to be rough on them. They better have the people to make that work.
Yeah, and back here they set it up.
Nine, eight, seven, six, five, four, three, two, one, ready, set.
This heat looks the closest up and over of any. It's a little concerning. Let's see what happens.
Yeah, so let's see. Zoo and Fringe pretty much neck and neck right here. Fringe pulling away a little bit, but I think both these athletes kind of just pushing each other, not allowing too much separation. Nearly simultaneous shove off from the one to the two. This is going to be interesting in the free roll. And let's see here. Fringe releasing Signu just behind them, and this is maybe where you see the engineering quality of Signu show itself. One of the fastest rolling buggies out there.
Yeah, for sure. And another part of the safety thing is that every single driver, in order to qualify for race day, has to complete a pass test, which is what we might be seeing right now, so that we can make sure that the drivers in the situation where they get close to each other on race day know how to go around each other safely.
The driver in front also does not have any mirrors or any way to see a buggy until it is basically right beside you.
Oh, you can see the SIG up there trying to figure out what to do.
Yeah, and Signu having to go real wide right there. They didn't want to run in behind. Yeah, definitely put the brakes on there.
It's one of the things that...
Fringe coming through the chute nice and smooth. They're through clean. Signu stopped up by the monument.
Yeah. As I was saying, one of the things that Sue Dixon and the judges try to emphasize to the drivers is that safety is most important than anything else. So if you feel like you can't pass safely, you brake and ask for a re-roll. So we'll see from the judges whether or not Signet was granted that re-roll later. And we see safety chair getting out of the buggy, making sure that they braked and everything was okay and it was just a choice on the driver's part. And we see Fringe charging up the back.
Yeah, again, though, their Hill 3 got a little bit burned. It looked like he had a good pickup and then hesitated for a second. Got a bit behind. Also, please reminder, stay off the course for your safety and everybody else's safety as well. 4-5 transition. Fringe A putting up a pretty good time here. Again, the top one right now, a 2:19.18. See if they're able to top CIAC.
Oh, there goes the beanie. Does that count as loss of mass?
Loss of mass on the hat. And this is going to be pretty close right here at 2:22.425. That would put them about third place behind SAE and CIAC. Also, we did get word the driver is fine. It was just braking. So safe driving, smart driving. Gotta imagine they're gonna be able to get a re-roll for that. And you know that's one. You know, Mark, like you said, you thought it would probably be that close, neck and neck. Smart of the driver to just hit the brakes there. Not really a good opportunity to pass.
I think she actually tapped him earlier and then was closing in again and then just said, oh, I can't do this. I'm going to stop. So, which is smart. I mean, that's safe is better than fast, although you'd rather be fast. And so she made the right call. And, you know, you miss that and you end up much worse off. So kudos to them. It was kind of a magnificent, the sun just came out down here. And earlier on, I thought we were going to be facing a serious headwind. It was blowing hard. Now it's like, I'm breezy. And, we got at least 10 minutes of sun. Enjoy it.
Don't jinx it, Mark.
Maybe 15. I took my jacket off. I'm up here just a sweatshirt. So I'm daring the gods of weather to make me wrong. It's going to be nice.
I want to do a shout out to that buggy there. That's Fringe's Baltic, I believe, and that's one of the COVID remote year releases during 2020 and then didn't race until 2021.
So, props to the mechanics for making a good enough buggy during those challenging years that it's racing on their A-team.
And yeah, you can see some of those highlights there. Obviously, right, as Rachel mentioned, there's no rearview mirror in these things, so Fringe was just doing their thing. Sig New kind of realized there's nowhere they could go hit the brakes.
Yeah, that front driver won't know that there is a buggy that close to her until they get out of the buggy and are told that or watch it back.
Yeah, in your experience, have you ever, I know you've completed a pass test, have you ever been passed?
I passed in the chute another buggy, and I was about an inch from the hay bales and 2 inches from the buggy, and everybody thought we were going to collide, and we did not.
That's very exciting.
It was lots of adrenaline.
Lots of stress. That's why we try to get those heats far apart in hill drivers.
This is back when we had 3 buggy heats.
Yeah. This year we don't have 3 buggies because the construction on what's going to be the Highmark Center brings those concrete barriers a little too close to lane 3 for anyone's comfort, especially given the powerful shoves on some of these hill ones. Sometimes the buggies can fishtail a little bit, which isn't great for timing, but is especially not great for having concrete right there.
Back in my day, said the old man, we had 18 three-buggy heats, but there was a lot more differences between buggies. Like, and nowadays, everybody's pretty much rolling reasonably quick wheels, and their free-roll times are all plus or minus 10 seconds. Back in the 80s and 90s, it might have been plus or minus 30 seconds of free-roll. So you could have easy spacing for a lot of these heats. Rarely did you have anything close back then. And if you did, it was really remarkable, and people got all excited. Nowadays, it's pretty predictable. They have all the data. They do a great job timing, like truck weekend, like front hills, back hills, all the hills. And that was the combination that had the closest potential for up and over mayhem. And you see what happens. They break. They made a safe call, and they'll probably get a reroll out of it. Although that's really for the officials to decide, not us.
Yeah. Speaking of similarities between buggies, I've noticed that a lot of these chute lines are all very similar. They're all very tight. They're close to the hay bales, and that's not something that I've seen throughout the year. Sometimes teams like to take wider chute turns or do the apex of their turn at different locations, and so far it's kind of looked. And we're just watching in the video. We don't have that shoot site, but it looks like everyone's taking a pretty similarly tight line.
Yeah, there's been a couple wide for the earlier races. I was just watching from down by the bales, but so far in the men's, it's all been very, very much cookie cutter, similar lines.
Alrighty, let's introduce our next heat.
Yeah, we are flying through these. We got CIAB, who had a great showing on the women's side. They're in their brand new buggy Goldfinch. The driver is Lucy Chen. Hill 1, Michael Crotty. Hill 2, Trey Dubois. Hill 3, Giovanni Ajani. Hill 4, Elliot Frankel. And Hill 5, Yorai Shao. And then we have in Spirit D in Kingpin. The driver is Avania Carranza. Hill 1, Joey McGinnis. Hill 2, Sorafal Sadik. Hill 3, Josiah Migiani. Hill 4, Darian Brown. And Hill 5, Anishwar Tirupator.
Yep, and while we're watching the follow car with Jaeger backing down the front hills, so races are going to pick up as soon as that's all sorted. Can't have a race without a follow car.
And that is the use of the follow car, is to pick up these stricken buggies and bring them home, and so it worked.
Yeah, the other point of it, and why we do it at Rolls as well, is so that there's always a member of the mechanical team there to assist the driver anytime there's an emergency. If the driver's glasses fog up because it's so cold outside, they need someone to help them get out because they can't see anymore. If they have a stop flag thrown because there's geese in the chute, which has happened and delayed an entire Rolls one time, you need someone there to make sure they get out of the buggy. The follow car is required, the person in the follow car is required to have an extraction kit. Some buggies have a bolt holding the hatch on, and so they've got to have a way to get that out. Other teams are latches that don't need that.
So if you're a a veteran of buggy racing, and you wonder, well, how do these times look compared to prior years? I will assert that this year we're not going to see shatteringly quick times. These roads have gotten significantly slower. If you look at the free roll times from, say, truck weekend versus prior years, we're maybe off as much as 4 seconds. And why? Where's 4 seconds gone? Well, count the cracks, and then all this white you see on the road, all the striping, the parking stuff, the bike lanes, that, if you, it's 3D, and as your wheel rolls over that, that is increased rolling resistance, particularly up near the stop sign. It's almost like a bunch of speed bumps in a row. It is not great. I mean, I think whoever used to be maybe a Pike alumni that worked for whoever paved the roads, who had them paved every 20 minutes, that was awesome. I think his name was like Jack something, Mahog, I can't remember. But he retired, and now the roads are, I'm going to call them not good.
I think that heavy rain we had this weekend or yesterday actually also deposited some extra dirt on the road that the hardworking sweepers doing their chores had to sweep up and make sure that that was as clear as possible. But it's possible that there's still a little bit there that's kind of embedded in the gravel that might be affecting the buggies as well.
For sure.
Well, the challenge this morning, there was a persistent puddle right here at the apex of the chute that it had like 25 sweepers and some guys with blowguns all trying to dry. It didn't dry until 10 seconds before the first demo roll. It was pretty wet down here.
Yeah. Both buggies out on the course. Both teams in yellow. Very similar shades of yellow.
I predict a yellow victory.
We're hoping that the pushers don't get themselves mixed up and go to the wrong buggy. We got yellow buggies here, too.
Didn't they have the wrong buggy at the line, like during the women's?
DG came out of heat early. These are two of the best-looking buggies out there. I love both these paint jobs.
Well, they say be early or don't show up, but that's a little too early.
Another fun point about Goldfinch is that it's sporting a iteration of the sloped push bar that showed up in CIA's buggy Roadrunner.
Well, it's an amalgamation of
8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, ready, set.
Side, CIA B took third place. See if they have similar depth here on the men's side, but Spirit D giving them a run for their money, neck and neck on hill one. Spirit showing incredible depth of their push teams. Let's see, this is going to be real close. Another tight race as we go here into hill two. CIA B separating just a little bit here. And a big shove there. Spirit D shoving out deep as well. You got to think the new buggy going to roll a little bit faster there, but that was tight on the hill one.
Well, now it's all down to the wheels and the drivers. We'll see what happens. You know, it's missed the days where occasionally there'd be a flat tire coming off one of the pneumatic teams, and Spirit was the last of the pneumatic masters. Now they're all rolling these urethane things. We'll see what happens. But the lead car's coming up to the transition. We'll see some action
about
here.
55 seconds there, and CIA really separating themselves in the free roll.
That's an almost 1 minute stop time from Spirit D, though.
Yeah, that's quick. That's quick for both teams. All right. CIA taking the first flag and very smooth entry, but late, and tucked it in. Yeah, so not ideal, but not terrible. Spear D, classic tight shoot turn, no issues.
It's always
another pusher destroyed on hill three.
It's always hard to time that pickup. You want to really meet the buggy where it's at, so you don't lose time.
Spirit D nailed it, and that Spirit D pusher knew exactly where to be because he picked it up about 3-4 windows up. He got what he got.
And you can see the CIA really separating themselves, just having the, you know, B team versus a D team there. A little bit faster buggy, a little bit faster pushers, but an excellent start from Spirit D, and I think still we'll get a really good time from them as far as a D team is concerned. But let us focus now on CIA B, again, wanting to get themselves a trophy for this B team. This B team is looking quite fast right here, just demonstrating some of their depth, looking like this will probably be the top time of a day. And a 2:13.196.
Yeah, that's quick.
Wow.
That's quick.
That is smoking. And let's see here what Spirit D is going to come across with. Also looking super fast right here as they're finishing up hill five. Again, this is a D team. blasting through here. Let's see, just crossing over 230, a 233.24. Really nice job by them as well.
Very impressive. I feel like half the time our D teams are just the mechanics who feel like pushing. And so if they've got either really fast mechanics or a lot of pushers.
Yeah, you never know what you're going to get with a D team, right? You certainly don't have the best pushers, but you never know what the buggy's going to do. And that one, they kind of knew. Like, the guy picked it up exactly. He knew what it was going to be. So I think that's a sign. You look at Spirit over the course of the last couple years, they have put in the effort. They put in all the push practices. And so, yeah, it was no mystery that he knew exactly what he was going to be on those three.
We have that CAA B time officially has come in. It is 2 minutes, 13 seconds, and 14. And to put that into some perspective, as a reminder, the winner of men's last year, Pika, won with a 209.39. So almost only about 4 seconds between that CAA B and the winner of men's last year.
Yeah, CIA continuing to just show excellent depth on their team. A really good time there.
I feel like CIA is one of the best examples of what coming out of remote years like should look like. They had an excellent recruiting year right then, and you can see now how having so many experienced mechanics, pushers, good recruiters is really helping the team grow.
I absolutely cannot wait to see what time their 18 puts up. I'm terrified.
Philosophically, you can look, maybe the waning of SDC has led to the booming of CIA, because you only have so much talent in any given year. And where is it? Which organization is in? Pushers clearly are a commodity that you need to maximize. And then you have the mechanics, the rolling stuff, the buggy designers. That takes a little longer to bloom, but CIA is certainly having great years compared to where they were, hanging by a thread. I think went out of existence and came back a couple times. So kudos to them. I raced them back in the 80s, and they were tough back then. There was a time when they weren't, and here they are dominating almost. I'm not going to use the dominating word until they pulled a streak similar to what Pika or SDC did, but wow, they were strong.
That's well set up for a streak like that.
And that Spirit D time came in officially as well. It is 233.14.
It's a good time for them. The fastest D team by far today.
We have all of our D teams, right? It's only Spirit, Fringe, and Apex that are rolling D teams, I think. And so
I believe so, yeah. CIA will roll a D team as well.
We'll report back on our D team matchup when that happens. Currently we have Spirit D beating Fringe D, beating Apex D.
Yeah, we have the unofficial times up here, but should be pretty darn close. CIA B in first place, CIA C in second place, SAE A 221, Fringe A 222.37, Spirit D 233, Fringe D 253, Apex D 254, Signu A hit the brakes there in that really close race against Fringe A. We will expect to see them re-roll a bit later, if I had to conjecture.
Has there been any official word on that, or are we still conjecturing?
Not that I have heard, but we are in the speculation business, I think.
That's what we do. We speculate.
We speculate. We conject. I don't know what the
we sometimes demand more glue, and I'm not sure why, but you know, we do all those things.
Make some educated guesses.
All right, and we are getting close here to this next race. That is going to be SIGAP B, Fringe C. SIGAP B, a little bit of excitement, had a some sort of issue with something on the course, ended up spinning out, got a reroll on the women's side. So let's see what they're able to do here. The driver is Miyamoto. Hill 1 is Oleg Tarzinski. Hill 2, Tyler Schweitzer. Hill 3, Jack Parfit. Hill 4, David Hershey Son and Andre Da Silva on Hill 5. And then we have Fringe Men's C. Seen a lot of Fringe early here. The driver is Kirsten Riaveros. Hill 1, Nick Firestone. Hill 2, Costas Bogazantis. Hill 3, Jacob Huck. Hill 4, Daniel Ng. And Hill 5, Alan Hung.
Do you think they put Nick Firestone with the brimstone on purpose?
Dr. Nick Firestone, I think.
There's some synergy there.
The doc.
This might be my favorite paint job this year. No offense to anyone else's paint jobs, but that's a good-looking buggy.
There's a lot of good paint jobs this year. I've been impressed.
It has been a banner year for paint jobs.
Although solid black kind of has a place in my heart.
I think you're biased on that one.
A little. I'll admit that.
Well, it's a fun paint job because it helps when you're trying to tell your pushers which buggy they're going to push at rolls. You can say the red one, the blue one, you know?
The black one
and the other black one that's slightly wider is what Signa's working with right now. No shade to Signa.
There was a time when both Pike and Signa were all just black, 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 and we actually got confused, and I think wrong.
9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, ready, set.
So yeah, one of those teams always trying to make some noise and looking good so far, starting with Hill 1, fair bit of separation.
Quick.
Yeah, big shoves, getting a lot of space. And this is SIGAP's B team. I'm excited to see who they got on their A squad. Really nice push from 1 to 2.
Wow.
SIGAP has, you know, good buggies that have variable performance and amazing amount of push talent to pull from, so you never know what you're going to get out of them. There's a wild